Welcome to this week's episode of Shark Cast Radio, a weekly podcast on all things Cronulla Sharks, brought to you by the legends at Dyson Logistics, supported by Jason Hawes at Cripps and Cripps Real Estate, and coming at you live and loud from the Royal Motor Yacht Club, Port Hacking. I am one half of this fine podcast, Sharks fanatic Newman, and I'm joined as I am every week by my fellow Sharks fanatic, Sydney singer-songwriter, and Fox Sports stats man, Sam Shinazzy. How you going, mate?
Hey, Newman, what is happening with you, my friend? What a week. Coming off a nice win and lots happening in Sharkland. Let's get into it, my friend.
Now the official records will read. The Sharks rolled the hapless North Queensland Cowboys 28 points to 12. And on the roller coaster that is the post-COVID NRL ladder, sit in eighth place. And the ladder requires some dissection, Samuel. We are in eighth position on 18 points with a positive differential of 46, which leaves us 4 points clear of the ninth placed Warriors, and we are 4 points shy of the top four. Now, we'd need to make up about 150 points in for and against, so you can write the top four off. And the Warriors would need to make up about 150 points in for and against. So, barring some kind of miracle, you'd say we're safe in the top eight, but we're not going to do much better than potentially sixth. We do play Newcastle this weekend, who are on 19 points, 1 point clear of us, so we can jump them into seventh. But our for and against is such that if we win and South Sydney lose, they still stay above us. So the best that we can hop into is seventh. Does that make sense, Samuel?
Yes, somewhat, Newman. The Warriors have a bit of a tough draw leading into the finals. I think we should be all right to stay amongst it. I'd love to finish in sixth and get the home semi, wherever that may be. But we'll see what happens. Long way to go for long weeks ahead. I was pretty impressed, though, Newman. Pretty impressed with the Cowboys' outing.
Yeah, it was a good afternoon or evening out. Nice weather, beautiful weather all weekend in Sydney, Samuel.
The game was good.
We didn't really look like we were going to be bested at any point. It was a little bit of a heart flutter moment, but it was concerning leading in. No Moylan, no Johnson, Braden Kenneth Trindle in, Connor Tracy in. If I'm correct, those two haven't started together. So, you know, you're always a bit concerned with look at that spine. Trindle, Brayley, Tracy and Kennedy. That is a young spine. And they look great.
They played out of their skin, and that was my concern going into the game. I'm sure it was many people's concern, just the inexperience. But they're classy players in their own right, and together they gelled really well. We had some really great comebacks. Britton Nakora was close to man of the match for me. Mm-hmm. A player that I've been into for the last month, you maybe a bit longer. I thought Aaron Woods had a really good game. He was playing very direct and he was line engaging that ball.
It was almost like someone had a word to him, wasn't it?
Well, he was creative. And I've been a big critic of his for the last month, but I thought he was really good. The whole team played very well. A few things we can talk about, which we will, which are negatives. But overall, that spine in particular, I mean, wow, fantastic stuff.
Yeah, sometimes you just can't beat the exuberance of youth. Mm. And, you know, we're not going to say too much about the opposition. They're having a very, very poor season. And, I mean, everyone's eyes are on the Broncos and the Bulldogs, but the Cowboys could easily take away the Wooden Spoon with only 3 wins. And they played every bit like the Wooden Spooners.
They did score first
with a good piece of play, the lofted ball out onto the edge, and was it Ronaldo who came in again? Talk about that in the letters. So we said after the Penrith loss, we're not going to get too carried away, but when you put, you know, fresh halves into the game and they perform like that, then there's certainly no room for complaints. I certainly wouldn't like to be running with Tracy and Braden Kenneth against any of the top four sides, but you know, they're going to have to have time to develop, and they're doing a good job so far.
Blake Brayley with his second 40-20.
Love it. Absolutely love it. I was out of my seat. You were at the ground. Sam, what was the reaction at the ground to that?
We saw it coming. We saw it coming. It was a beautiful kick and down towards the end I was at. And he's coming along really nicely.
Mm.
He had a really great game. A lot of darts from dummy half. Defense was good. And I'm very happy with the way he's traveling.
I really like some of the moves he puts on in good ball too. You know, he jumps up when we're close to the line and turns the ball back under. And that, a lot of those plays are basic plays that are taught in junior reps, but you don't seem to see them at first grade level, but they work.
Mm.
You know, they create lanes and open up space and they attract, you know, make defenders make decisions, and that's the sort of stuff that creates tries. So it's good to see a bit of creativity. Ennis was always good at that sort of stuff as well.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about some of our key players that shone, and that was in a career best game at fullback, Will Kennedy.
Yeah, I'm going to take a bit of credit here. I said that he was capable of a game like that, didn't I, Samuel?
You did.
I said one was in the works. And
I'll give him the credit for playing well, though.
Well, I'm going to take the credit for picking it.
Sure.
I felt that he was rising to a game like that. And while he didn't make the 90-meter breaks, there were plenty of line breaks from you know, kick collections. He didn't drop anything. He was great.
Two line breaks, one line break assist, two try assists, Newman.
Yep.
160 meters, safe under the high ball. Fantastic.
Yep.
Brilliant.
Really good. I mean, I was never a big fan at the start of the year. He felt a little bit light on for me, but he's improved enormously. And what more can you ask for?
Let's flip to the halves. I thought Connor Tracy, Trindle's getting all the accolades, and he should.
Mm-hmm.
The old Donald Trump thingy.
You are. He's holding his hand up like Donald Trump.
Connor Tracy.
Connor Tracy was the best. Amazing. The most amazing anybody has ever seen.
Connor Tracy was fantastic. And I've got to stop saying fantastic. Maybe I'll edit all this out. Connor Tracy, I love that energy he has in attack, in his running game.
Quick off the mark.
Really quick. He was creative.
Good try.
Yeah. Tackled pretty well. I've got to tell you, his biggest fan may be our friend Rob Willis. I saw Rob Willis after the game. He was buzzing. You know, Robbie's pretty chilled kind of guy.
Robbie's a mellow dude. Was he freaking out?
He was out of his skin, and I was talking about every single player except for Connor Tracy, and he was like, Connor Tracy was the best out there. I'm so proud of him. He's known him since he was like 5 years old, apparently.
Oh, wow.
So, Robbie, shout out to you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought Tracy was really strong.
Let's talk about Braden Kenneth Trindle.
Sure.
The reason why he's getting the accolades is he just looks like a really calm, controlled half. Great kicking game. He's got a varied kicking game, which I feel like none of our halves, even Sean, have had. Like, Sean's got a monster long kick, but mm-hmm. and he's got the accurate short kick, but he doesn't have that wobbly old spiral bomb or
the
chip and chase.
Yeah.
Whereas Braden Kenneth Trindle seems to have all of those tricks in his kick bag, which is just great to see, and you know, kick some goals.
Yeah.
Which was really enormous, I thought, because it's been a while. Matt Moylan kicking goals and now Braden Kenneth. It's been weird to see someone other than Johnson kicking.
Matty looks a bit shaky.
He doesn't look a goal kicker, does he? I mean, sometimes in these cases, it's like you get thrown the chair and do your best.
Yeah.
You know?
Can I ask you this? You've watched Trindle more than I have over the years. Is he much of a running halfback?
No.
Occasionally?
Occasional running halfback.
Okay.
But he's got a very big... I don't want to curse him with these kinds of comparisons, but for mine, he's like a Cooper Cronk.
Yeah.
You know, he knows how to drive the team around, a much bigger body shape.
Has he got the shape of a, and this is going to kill his career, of an A. Dot Johns, or am I making that up?
Yeah.
Bit of a rump.
Later era.
Yeah.
Not the young A. Dot Johns.
Okay.
But definitely has the body shape.
Is he as good as A. Dot Johns?
Well, I mean, Cooper Cronk was also a fair half as
kidding.
Well,
I'm
but
kidding.
That he's that style of, you know, A. Dot Johns was not the fastest runner, but he could bully his way through a line and score a try.
Okay.
You know, I'm certainly not comparing him to Kronk or Johns, but he seems a rounded player with a cool and collected head. There's a long, 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 long way to go for him.
So compare him to Chad in the sense of maybe not even Chad now, but we'll say Chad coming into grade slash maybe at the Warriors, maybe early 2016. Can you compare their... Are they similar in...
No.
They're not. Chad, so how are they different?
Much bigger, more running.
Okay.
Half.
So Chad runs
more. Remember what Chad and Sean at the Warriors? Chad was running a lot. I wouldn't see him as a runner. He's an organizer, kicker, very strong, robust defender.
He's a good tackler, yeah.
I mean, his defense is miles ahead of probably where Chad was at his stage of his career. But, it's idiotic of me to compare him to Cooper Cronk.
No, you're just talking in styles.
Yeah,
you're talking styles.
He's got a long, long, long way to go, but, you know, the foundation's looking good. Whether he has the temperament to... you know, really take his game to that excellent representative level like those names that we've thrown out there remains to be seen.
Of course.
Like, look at Chad. Chad's a very capable organizing type half with many, many strings to his bow.
Yeah.
He never played rep footy.
No, but he's barely missed a game through injury. He's slick as, so whether this kid can do that, hopefully he can. Forwards were pretty good, albeit against a not fantastic pack. I thought Hamlin Ewelli was awesome.
Yep. Running off the back fence. How good was that?
Yeah. Yeah. Peachy style. Noted by every Sharks fan watching the game.
It was like a throwback to 2001, wasn't it, Sam?
Stop. You know, my dad had heart issues around 2003/2004. And I'm going to put some of that on the Peach leading up to that.
It was crazy, that play, wasn't it? I remember there was a couple of games where Peach was like chewing gum and, you know, scoring tries. Yes, he scored a try. And now he's going to, for some reason, put the ball as close to the dead ball line as possible. Oh, now they're going to the video ref to make sure.
Yeah. It wasn't 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. It was every time.
Every time. Yep.
The horrific 2002 prelim, I was... fortunate enough to beat the ground, Newman. He makes a break in the first half, should have scored a try. I think he gets mowed down by someone.
Yep.
I swear to God, he was waving at our section of the crowd as he was gliding past. Oh, and we were like, keep running.
Couldn't he move? Didn't he have beautiful movement, the Peach?
It's a bit chilled, Peach.
Yeah.
Love the Peach. Thought the forwards were good. I've given Woods a wrap. I thought Nakora was just close to the best. Two line breaks.
And that try he scored running that line. Duh. Perfect. That's what we want, right?
He was very involved. And that was all without his mate, Sean. So, I think Britain's got a bit of life in him, which is fantastic. All the big boppers were tops. Rudolph, Talakai, Hunt. I want to talk to you. I thought Sorensen was solid. He keeps getting picked.
I thought it was a quiet game for the GOAT, Talakai. Didn't see...
He shifted to the centres, right, when Jesse went off? Yeah.
Yep.
He made some metres.
Yeah, he always does. I just set such a high standard for Talakai. Like, all of a sudden, we're comparing Braden Kenneth Trindle to Cooper Cronk, and now we've got Talakai being compared to Arthur Beetz and Dally Messenger. Isn't a 10 out of 10 every game, I'm going to be disappointed.
Is there a chance you went off a little early?
Might have.
I'm not saying you have.
It is my right.
Let's talk about big Andrew Fifita. I thought he was pretty restricted in his playing, and I didn't think he was overly effective in his comeback match.
No, clearly not 100% over the injury, but you might be asking a little bit much. He's had quite a long layoff with injury. Getting back into the professional cut and thrust of NRL can take some time to adjust. He's probably better for the Gallup.
Yeah, good game to bring him back against a team that you should and did beat fairly easily. So that was good. But
and
I just
a bit of argy bargy in the tunnel.
Yeah,
do we know what caused that?
No,
bit of fun.
I had various texts, mostly from work people, saying, "Was that you calling Maguire a dog or whatever the word was? Is that what they called him, a dog?
You're a dog, Maguire."
I was like, "No, it wasn't me." But, Joshy's not far away. What'd you think of Valentine the Future Holmes?
Was he out there, was he?
He was. I've got to say, I was at the game, Newman, and I thought he copped a little bit too much unflattering words from the fans.
You would say that. You are very sensitive on this issue.
I didn't the cheer him. I didn't cheer him.
He's a traitor.
No.
He left the team in a lurch. Gal said it.
Gal.
And you got to expect from, you know, the passionate voices at the ground that any kind of person that turns their back on our club is going to be put through the ringer.
What did he do before he turned his back on the club? Gave him everything he had.
Yeah, but he was still...
Yeah, but.
He was contracted to give them more, and he didn't do it.
He gave him everything
he had. And he was supposed to come back to the Sharks, Sam. Are you forgetting that little tidbit that... They released him from his contract so he can chase his dream.
That was under a certain amount of time.
As long as he comes back to the Sharks. And did he come back to the Sharks, Sam?
It was if he came back he didn't. In a certain period of time.
Just because you love him more to have 10,000 of his babies doesn't change the facts.
I was happy to be in his presence. A bit disappointed with his form, but
I'm sure. He was terrible.
He's been terrible in both games. He wasn't overly involved.
No, he's been shocking in both games against us, both return bouts.
For a chap on $1 million, I thought he could probably do a bit more.
Wow.
But nevertheless, I love him and I thank him for all the things he's done for
me.
Why
don't you
personally.
Say the same things about Jack Bird?
Because Jack didn't give me what Val gave me week in, week out.
Jack Bird gave us everything. Same thing.
Well,
and
have you heard me say a bad word about Jack Bird?
He would never say anything about
him. And have you heard me stick up for Jack Bird?
You never say anything about him.
I've stuck up for Jack Bird.
On the reg.
I've stuck up for Jack Bird before.
He's pointing at me now. Instead of doing a Trumpian okay sign, he's now pointing at me.
I've stuck up for Jack Bird.
You may have stuck up for Jack Bird, but you talk about Val Holmes on the reg.
He just gave me so much enjoyment for so long.
Jack Bird, I thought, was better in the grand final than Valentine was.
Well.
He was enormous. Underrated member of that 2016 team. Forgotten.
That's not true.
Would you have Jack Bird back at 13?
I'd have him back on a fair contract.
At a fair price.
Yeah.
Here's one for you. The Peach. Tyrone Peachy, would you have him back at 13 now that the game's changed to suit that kind of roving 13? He was great for the Titans the other week.
Adam, I'm a loyal person and I'm a big believer in that kid. And I would have him back in a heartbeat. And I tend to think it was a mistake to let him go because I feel like under our systems and in his environment, he would have kept shining. But the story was he was playing behind a pretty good pack, which was true. But I'm the sort of person, Newman, where you're David Peachy's nephew, you have talent, you're one of us.
Yeah, and I just never think... I think now that given the six again rule, if he can be robust in defence, he could be a great 13 and he's going to offer more than a Sorensen or a Rudolph.
He's not... what about Rudolph? He's not robust in defence, that's the problem. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't see that getting coached into him at this sort of later stage of his career.
He's in your Jack Bird mold for sure. He's just a bit stockier version of Jack Bird. Like, they're fantastic in attack. They're creative. They're off the cuff. I think guys like him are worth a lot of money. Not so much the $1 million on the Gold Coast, but I think they're valued. Absolutely. Yep.
So, the game.
Mm.
Good to get the win. We're not getting overly carried away. The stats where we wanted them to be. Completing sets.
Oh, yeah.
Let's, the corners.
Yeah. Minimal, you know, missed tackles.
Was much better, you know, but we're not talking about playing against...
No, but they completed really well.
Yeah. So, we roll on to next week, which is the Knights are sort of... The wheels are falling off there.
We can get them.
Yeah, so they're vulnerable. But, you know, we needed to beat the Cowboys. We beat them, and I'll tell you what, it'd be a different conversation if we got beaten by them by 1 point or 10 points. Or
forget it.
We'd be crying into our Shark Island lagers.
Now, I want to give a shout-out to the, 1,500 people that were there.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good conditions. And it's a interesting time to go to Cogra in COVID existence.
Mm-hmm.
I had a good time. I'm glad I was there. I think that for me personally, the viewing experience is not ideal. I can't see a lot. Too far away from the action. Obviously, I have the option to move closer, but where I was where I was. I still like going to the footy. I think it's a great time out. Saw a lot of friendly folks, but yeah, something about that place. Something about that place.
It just doesn't feel right to me. It doesn't feel like home.
It's probably not supposed to. Yeah.
I'd rather... It's like when you walk into a room and there's some... like into a bar room or a restaurant, there's someone you don't like there and you'd like pretend...
That's the worst.
They pretend that they're not...
I can have a good time.
Yeah. But it's always in the back of your mind that it's awkward.
Yeah.
And that's what that... what Cogra feels like. And there's some news on that stuff. So... we'll talk about that on the other side of the break.
I am glad we're winning at Cogra because if we weren't going to start, well, I think it's like our 12th win in history of the Sharks. So if we weren't going to start winning there, I would probably think about coming home a year early. But
yep.
we got some wins there. It's good.
Yep.
Probably winning more than the Drags, which is the most important thing.
Yeah, Bad luck, Dragons. Bad luck.
Yeah.
Great year for Schadenfreude this year.
Schadenfreude. Yeah.
Do you know what that means?
I don't.
Enjoying the misfortune of others in the rugby league landscape. The Dragons, the Broncos, the Bulldogs, you know, they're all going very poorly.
Yeah.
And I'm enjoying it.
Well, there is that notion that my team may be average, but yours is really, really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I enjoy watching the Tigers struggle as well.
Really?
Yeah.
You got a bit of a mean spirit in you, don't you?
I do.
I don't really enjoy too many teams losing like that. Like the Broncos doesn't really affect me. You spoke about it the other week. For me, it's more like I don't really care either way.
Yeah.
I'm not going to really feel too much sympathy for them. But at the same time, I don't really like... I'm not moved to go, woohoo.
Yeah.
They lost the 12th game in a row. But, boy, oh boy.
I don't have this raging hatred of the Roosters either. Like, it's weird.
They're good to watch.
Like, a lot of people really dislike them. And I'm like, okay... They're a Sydney team.
They're good to watch.
They've got no juniors and they've found a way around it.
Yeah.
You know?
They're really, really good to watch. I really like watching Melbourne this year. I think they're good to watch. And
Loomy.
Yeah, let's talk about Isaac.
I didn't see the game.
He went all right.
I got a lot of texts, people saying Loomy's playing for the Storm, but we were out down the beach enjoying.
Kinda went better than I thought he was gonna do. He went all right.
Well, if anyone's going to get something out of him, it'll be Bellamy.
Vossi was loving it. Vossi called the game, Andrew Voss, and he mentioned that Adokar and Vunivalu are probably not going to be there next year, and it's a good chance for a new winger to come in. So,
wow. What's going on there?
Adokar, I believe, is looking for the Bucks. I'm not sure. Vunivalu might be going to rugby. I'm not sure. I haven't researched that one. Would you have Josh Adokar back at the club?
100% you would, the Fox. Problem is with wingers...
He wants
the
money.
Do you throw big bucks at any winger? I'm not Moneyball wise. I'm not a fan.
I mean, he's
a special one though, isn't he? He is great on his day.
Yeah, if you had someone with his pace and experience now, if you had a Sivo, but he's got to be Sivo like from last year, maybe like in form, killing people, scoring tries every week, Sivo. Those kind of involved wingers, I could probably look to pay.
The problem with wingers is, though, they seem to go on these hot streaks of about 1 to 2 years, but never seem to maintain that rage.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at rep teams, it's the wingers that have probably the highest amount of churn.
Yeah.
For
example, I wouldn't pay a lot for Kyle Felt, but I think he's really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas Adokar is really good, but
I think Adokar is the exception. In the main, Moneyball, you would say you wouldn't pay big money for a winger.
Mm.
But if he's on the market, you're thinking, well. Mm. Yeah. All right. Well, that wraps us up for the review. We're going to have a break. When we come back on the other side, we'll have the news. This is Sharkcast Radio.
Sharkcast Radio would not be possible without the generous support of Dyson Logistics.
Dyson Logistics provides tailored logistical solutions to meet individual client needs and is set apart by its personalized service.
Dyson has a strong worldwide agent network, enabling highly competitive rates. Find them online at www.dysonlogistics.com or call them 8399 1844.
Dyson Logistics, service delivered.
Porter puts a kick deftly into the end goal. Look at Mills, he's got the ball.
Welcome back to the show, and now it's come to that time where we see what news has washed in across Botany Bay towards the mangrovey shores of PointsBet Stadium, the big old construction site, Karela Golf Club.
None of that makes sense, Newman, but your friend Dino,
yes,
has sent out a CEO update. It covered a variety of things. He talked about the glowing aspect of Sharks at Karela, which I took my young son to for lunch last week. It's a really top-notch venue. So
yeah, it's great, isn't
good
it?
On them for doing all that.
It seems more modern and fresh than the old club, doesn't it?
It does. We had a great time watching the old boys playing golf from up above, eating some food, having some drink.
I haven't eaten there. How's the food?
Really good.
Yeah.
And they
what'd you have?
Pizza and nuggets and chips. You know, we were like four-year-olds. But well, one of us was a four-year-old. But it's table service. Because of COVID, they bring you drinks and everything. So
I like that.
Really friendly people as well. And there's lots of little spaces to go and hang out in this place. So good luck to the Sharks for that. He spoke about the development, which we spoke about last week. Spoke about going home a year earlier, which will be 2022. One thing he brought up, which got a lot of attention, and that is, which I think we knew anyway, but it's come to the attention of the world, that Ace Gutters will be ending their front of jersey.
Let's talk about sponsorship.
At the end of the season, it's important to point out, not as of today.
Now, that was the deal was always up at the end of the season, and I have to say that Don Anderson, who runs Ace Gutters, is a fairly reluctant sponsor. Don's been on the board previously. He's been involved with the club for a long time and has tried to sort of keep his business interests at arm's length. But, you know, the club went to him and said, can you help us? This will be the best way you can help us. So he went ahead. I mean, in these times, it wouldn't be harder. I couldn't think of a harder time in history to be seeking corporate support. And I know this for a fact. Like, I was working for a company during COVID. I was in charge of their marketing spend. When COVID came along, the first thing that we did was just put a line through every non-essential marketing spend. And I can tell you right now that sponsoring a sporting organization, be it the Sharks or be it the Wallabies, is just not money well spent. And most, Harway are finishing up at the Raiders. The Bulldogs have got, well-publicized dramas with maintaining sponsors, and it's just going to be very, very difficult. And there was a discussion on Twitter, Sam.
Oop.
What were some of your favorite sponsors of the Sharks over the years?
Oh, my favorite sponsors? It's got to be Shark Energy, doesn't it? Our mate driving through the desert, and he went to a convenience store and he saw a can of energy drink, because Damo needed the energy drink back then, and it was Shark Energy, and he hit him like a bolt of lightning. That's got to be our sponsor.
I don't think they got any money for that sponsorship.
No, that's the whole thing's just my favorite thing.
Mm. I liked Fisherman's Friend.
Another Damo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good.
Yes, but we've had summer. We had Blades on the front, Fisherman's Friend, Hisense.
Oh, how far
Southern
back do you
want to
go?
I mean, and I was thinking about
I'm probably an Aussie duck man.
I'm an Aussie duck man. And they're still there, Australian. They're not called Aussie duck anymore. They're called Australian Plastic Profiles. They've changed gears, and they now sponsor the soccer. But they're a big company now.
Let's get them back.
And I was reflecting on sponsorships, and there was a golden era for the club where we were sponsored by Pepsi, Reebok, and LG, and Toyota.
Yeah.
It was Toyota Park. Now, those are multinational corporations, big-time companies, and, you know, fair play to Ace Gutters and Southern Radiation, and who else have we had? Opal Solar.
Yeah.
They are not on the same scale, Samuel.
We almost had Toyota in some capacity a year or two ago, maybe 2 years ago, and there was a controversy. I don't even know which one it was, but it was all but signed.
Yeah, right.
And something happened. And
was it a local dealer? Because, like, the Cowboys are sponsored by Toyota, but they're not sponsored by Toyota Japan. They're sponsored
by Toyota. It was a style of Toyota, like Toyota trucks or something.
Yeah,
it was
right.
A specific thing. Yeah, but it was Toyota.
Because the Cowboys, for example, are sponsored by, they just have Toyota, and you think, oh, they're sponsored by Toyota, but no, they're sponsored by, like, the Toyota dealerships of Townsville.
Sure. At least we know that we need a sponsor. It's not news that we need to get one overnight, so they'll be working on it. Let's see.
And one thing about our chairman and our CEO is that they are very, very well connected business people.
Mm.
So I have faith that they can get something over the line. But I tell you what, you wouldn't want to be a commercial manager of any shade.
No.
At the moment. And I mean, the club's a lot more buoyant. You know, it has a much better reputation than it did 5 years ago, but it's still going to be a hard sell.
Yeah, I'm going to back him in. I think that there's enough time to get someone on the front of that jersey that will pay some money. I'm going to back him in.
Now, on that, I heard, and I don't like to deal in rumour, but some whispers coming out of the club.
Well, you heard. I heard.
Moves are afoot to unseat certain individuals. Yeah.
Are you going to name them? Or?
Well, Dino.
Mm-hmm.
And replace them with people that were involved in the doping and salary cap scandals.
Now, because we have lots and lots of people listening right now, you're throwing it out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
Your sources are good, not sure.
My source is incredibly well connected at just about every NRL club.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean he's always right.
Okay.
And knowing the backstory, which I'm not going to go into here on the line, it makes sense. There are people that are a fan of this. There are people in high positions that are a fan of this guy who keeps turning up at the club despite having his hands all over all kinds of very, very ordinary acts that got the club in a lot of hot water.
So would the NRL be cool with this happening? Or?
Well, he served his time.
Okay.
And the other thing I keep hearing that will not go away, mm-hmm. and again, it's only just rumour,
mm-hmm.
is that the decks are being cleared for Shane Flanagan to come back.
Yeah.
And and our chairman is a big fan of Shane Flanagan, this is probably going to accelerate if the news about Griffin coming back to the Dragons, going to the Dragons is true,
mm-hmm.
because Flanagan will be asked to leave, I'm led to believe.
Leave?
The Dragons.
Immediately?
At the end of the season or whatever.
Why would that be?
Because he doesn't fit into the plans moving forward.
Because
if they sign a head coach, Shane's ban runs out.
A year later.
Yeah. They're going to sign a head coach for a long period of time. It's clear that Shane isn't in their plans.
But wouldn't they just keep him on as an assistant coach? Wouldn't he be happy
with that? Why would you?
Well, what else is he going to do?
Well, he can go and find a head coach job. Or go into the wilderness for a year and then find a head coach job.
Yeah, but why wouldn't he wait around for a year then go do it?
Yeah, but if Griffin comes in, he's going to bring his own team.
Okay. Well.
So watch this space. I mean, if Flanagan goes.
He wouldn't be going to the Sharks next year.
Not next year.
In any capacity.
But the decks are being cleared to bring him back as soon as he can come back. And that'll be at the expense of Bomber.
That rumour has been around
for it gained a long some legs last
time.
Week.
A long time.
It's been a rumour, and yeah, we don't like to deal in rumour, although we've done a lot of it in the last 5 minutes.
These are things we hear is what you're saying.
Yeah, these are things we... But the if things shake down at St. George, the way they're going to shake down, it adds a lot more gravitas to that theory.
What happens, and this is talking hypothetically now, so this is not rumour. What happens if John Morris takes us to the second week of the finals this year, and then next year we win the first 10 games in a row? Does he get re-signed?
In my view, it wouldn't change anything.
No?
No.
Okay.
In my view, that wouldn't change anything. Short of winning a premiership.
Coaches, as you know, sign their deals pretty early. He's not going to wait till the end of his contract.
No, and look, I could be dead wrong about this. But
no, well, you're telling us what you've heard.
Yeah,
it's not what
and it won't go away either. Like, it's, you know, rumours come and go. This one has been just repeated ad nauseum. And, you know, the media turning on Morris as soon as, you know, things just aren't going our way. Just led, every time I see that, I'm like, hello, here we go. Like, there are elements looking to unsettle him.
You look at the game on the weekend, and the one thing that I took, the main thing I took away from the game on the weekend was John Morris may or may not be able to coach really well the older guys, but he can coach like hell the younger guys.
100%.
You look at all the ones that have come in,
yeah,
and we'll take away Ronaldo's debut because that was just, you know, 3 minutes notice, but everything else, they've gone swimmingly. So the administrative staff better be sure of what they want.
Well, if it was me, I wouldn't be doing that deal, but it's not me. I don't have a relationship with Shane Flanagan.
Well, you do.
I have no relationship with Shane Flanagan.
What do you call him on the texts?
Mr. Thumbs Up. I haven't spoken to Shane Flanagan since he was banned.
Okay.
No relationship.
Okay.
But there are certain people on the board that are very, very big fans of his and mates of his.
Yeah, yeah. But that's not surprising either.
No. I mean, the
bloke blood, is a legend at the club.
Yeah, the ties run deep. Gal and Flano, the ties run very, very deep into people who are in positions of influence at the club.
Newman, the Harvey Norman Women's Premiership Sharks, they finished the regular season in second, and they and the Roosters, who I believe came first, have a week off, and they play each other in the second round. And the winner goes through to the grand final.
Wow.
So they're going pretty good. I believe that is Glenn Brayley's team.
Yeah, cool. So I haven't been following this. I thought we didn't have a women's team.
It's the Harvey Norman Women's Premiership. It's not the
Telstra Women's Premiership,
which is starting pretty soon.
Oh, right. The big show. Yeah. Okay. We've always been strong in the girls, man.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
Well, who knows what the future will bring.
Good luck for them, though.
Today, Newman, fresh news. The NRL has issued Bronson Sherry with a notice of alleged anti-doping rule violations, the return of the positive B sample and completion of the doping process has been done, and he's positive. Got about a week to fight that.
And fighting it would be absolutely futile.
I believe so. There'd I be believe no if he admits all and dobs in people, there's even a chance they'll be lenient on him. So. Yeah.
But he can't fight it because the only way he'd fight it is to say, that's not my sample. It's been a long, protracted process of which we've spoken about, but we all knew pretty early on that he was guilty. Very silly. And we can forget about it now and he'll be banned and it'll free up some salary cap space.
I believe the club will stick by him as far as assistance
support
with getting through it, yeah, which is good.
Yeah, but it's just an unsavory chapter and a very silly move by a young man.
It shows you that the club really has turned a leaf, Newman. You were talking about sponsorship before. Things like the community work Ronaldo's doing, the whole club have got a whole bunch of community stuff that they're doing every day, from helping out little kids at Skills for Me to bigger picture. The chap, Finney, who's suffering from cancer. And the Sherry thing had the chance to blow everything up, and it didn't. And that other positive things have to help.
Where that sort of thing would have just blown the club up.
Yeah.
It would have blown the club up.
It was a blemish.
Yeah, it's just a blemish. And it's almost sort of wasn't even that big in news today, the B sample. Like, all right, we've sort of thought that was going to play on.
The week wasn't good, but that it happened. But since then, thankfully.
And he'll be cast asunder to the wilderness. Won't be able to play any sport. He's been a naughty little boy, and it's going to be a rude shock for him. Now he's going to go from earning about 20 grand a month to whatever he can get.
Yeah. We wish him all the best. We might see him in the future.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of Sharks outside backs, blast from the past, Samuel. I went down and I was the ground announcer for the Cronulla Caringbah Sydney Shield team.
Yeah.
And along with Michael Leisha.
Yeah. I like Michael Leisha.
Jacob Gagan.
No.
Was out there.
Had the hots for my friend Rachel. That's another story.
Did he? The mighty, mighty Jacob Gagan.
So he was at Souths last, I heard. I was a big Gagan fan, if you remember.
When Leisha picked the ball up from dummy half and dumped it off to Jacob Gagan. And I'm like, oh, whoa, look at that.
2014 all over again.
Yeah.
I like Gagan.
It was just good to see some of those names back in. And good day out, actually. Good win for Cronulla Caringbah.
Now, some sad news came through that Jack Danzy, who played in the first ever Sharks team, he passed away this week, aged 81. He went on to become a very, very successful referee as well. And Shark number 5, he has that honour. So,
and a bit of a legend of the game. He played at Balmain and Newtown as well. And also was a very storied referee.
Yeah, a proper ref.
Refereed a lot of games. So, yeah, those guys are from the Pioneer team are knocking on in years, and that's a sad loss.
Fantastic shot of him, I think, on the website, of the Shark website I saw, with him enjoying the trophy. So,
all right.
Great stuff.
There's also one I saw of him sending off Greg Pearce.
Okay. Last bit of news, Newman, which we can maybe talk about a little bit. In the presses today from the Sharks, Chad Townsend revealed that Matthew Moylan played his last game, I think that was against the Eels, with a grade 2 hamstring tear.
No, it was a Panthers game, was his last game.
I apologize. Stop the emails. Yeah. So grade 2. What's going on there?
Yeah, well, you have to ask the question, why, if it was that bad, why was he allowed to play? Now,
does it mean he did it during the game and kept playing?
Don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to get some more info on that one.
You would have to get some more. You would like to think that he didn't get the green light to play.
No, I wouldn't have thought
but
he would.
But he was in that para game. He couldn't run.
Yeah, so he did it there and then, yeah.
Matty Moylan.
One day I'll write a thesis on it.
All right, so we've had a couple of slow weeks of news. Plenty to cover off on there, Samuel.
Yeah. That's good for the podcasters, that's for sure.
Yep, all right. Well, we're going to cut to a break. When we come back on the other side, we've got a heap of letters too. This is Shark Cast Radio. Buying or selling a property is one of the most stressful undertakings that you can do in your entire life. Luckily, Sharkcast Radio is supported by one of the best and most honest real estate agents in the Sutherland Shire market and is an expert in the North Caringbah region. I sold my property with Jason Hawes from Cripps & Cripps Real Estate and could not have been happier with the outcome. Call Jason on 0410-417-450. That's Jason from Cripps & Cripps Real Estate, 0410-417-450.
Twister. Green. Kicks across the park. Sailor's on his own. Oh! Barnett has scored! Richard Barnett has scored! That is incredible!
Welcome back to the show, and now it's come to that time where we see what the little Sharky who rips around the neighborhood on a high-vis motorbike has jammed into the slot. The letters, you can get a sharkcastpod@gmail.com or on the socials, which is with the handle @sharkcastpod. Sorry, I'm all over the place there. Now, Sam has a stack of mail in front of him and a shark tooth-shaped letter opener. So rip in, mate. What do you got?
First letter is from Caleb. He says, it seems the Matt Moylan as a half experiment is done with. This creates an interesting dilemma going forward leading into the finals. He sees it as leaving it with two options. The first is we can ride the hand of Will Kennedy, who's improved every week, thus relegating Moylan to the bench or out of the team. He's a handy playmaker. He's more durable. However, his ceiling is not proven to be as high as Moylan's. Alternatively, we bring Matt Moylan back when ready and give him a few games before the finals to try and get his form and fitness in. What do you guys think? That's from Caleb.
That is an extremely astute email, wouldn't you say? And he's put the issue into laser focus. My preference is to send Matt Moylan packing, send him on a duck shooting adventure or out to some kind of...
duck shooting?
Yeah, you could go duck shooting or you could go...
Why would you go duck shooting?
Whitewater rapids or just anything else other than playing for the Sharks. I don't even fear it. I know what'll happen. He'll come back. And I think the best case scenario is that he plays as a super sub. That's the best case scenario for mine. But he's right. Kennedy doesn't... Like, Moylan on his day can be brilliant where Kennedy can be good.
Yeah, that's the bit of Caleb's letter that stands out. His ceiling is not proven to be as high as Moylan's. But then again, what I saw on the weekend, as I said, career best, albeit in his 10th game or whatever, was more than good enough.
Mm.
So if you can maintain something like that every week, it's probably better than your 10 out of 10s or your 0 out of 10s.
He's definitely a confidence player, Will Kennedy. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, you're not winning any observational prizes by saying that. But at Newtown, he got better every week when he was playing well.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. And once he slumps himself, unslumping yourself is not easily done. As the great Dr. Seuss said.
I think that to answer Caleb's point of view, from my point, I think that Maddie's in the too risky basket now for me. And the only dilemma I have with Matt is the money he's on and the responsibility we have of a very highly paid player not doing anything. It's kind of...
Yeah.
But then again, I just can't...
I don't know, man. I reckon if he was on half the money or even a quarter of the money, you'd still be frustrated with him.
No, I would be, but I wouldn't be probably looking at what I can do with him. What I'd do with him is just leave him out of the team.
Yeah, right. Okay.
But the fact he's like... I think he's like the second highest paid guy out there, which is good for him, but...
Play pigeon shooting instead of duck shooting? We don't want to harm little animals, do we?
I don't want to harm any animals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why don't we send you on a clay pigeon shooting expedition?
Look, you're being a little bit disrespectful. I don't want to be disrespectful. I enjoy watching him play. I just... Something's happened to his body, unfortunately, and he's not up for it.
All right, we'll go on from Jason from Ingadine. He refers to where we said why... He asked us why we don't bring up the dirty play from all the teams that we play against, leg pulls, you know, body slams, pulling of, you know, all of those, standing on hands. We don't bring it up because we do it as well. And so Jason says, very true with the dirty play you spoke of last week and why you are not overly critical about opposing teams. Thanks for clarifying. It's a shame that professional sport has come to that, win at any cost. I think professional sport was there a long while ago. Now, he's also asked us the question, what is the one thing that you need to be successful at achieving whatever you want in life?
So he asked that last week.
He asked that.
Yep.
We answered. And then he's also said his answer is self-discipline.
Mm.
It's free. Everyone can have it. It's with you when you wake up and when you go to bed.
Heavy thinker, Jace.
He loves it, doesn't he? All right. So thanks, mate. You take care too. What do you got from Adam?
So Adam Flanagan, not related to Shane or Kyle, as far as I know. If he is, I'm going to ring him up and try and get more information. He said, Ronaldo seems to have a pretty bad habit of coming in off his wing in defense, leaving a huge overlap. What do you think? Am I imagining this? The answer is no, you're not imagining it.
You are not imagining this, Flano, at all.
He swapped sides this week and still did it.
He just flies in. He gets a bit of the white line fever, I think, Ronaldo. He's a passionate player. He's going to have to temper it.
Yeah.
But yeah, he did crazy it less. For flying in off the wing.
He did
and
it less.
And they are trained. I watch a lot of people watch the football and they're like, oh, you know, in out of 10s you were told, stay on your wing. Mm. And that was probably true for suburban football under 10s.
Yeah.
But in NRL football, they are coached to jam in and force the pass because they'd much rather someone have to pass the ball at speed.
Yeah.
In contact.
But he's not coached to do what he's doing.
Yeah. And then rather than let the center just run through a hole and go, oh, well, I was on the winger.
And a lot of the times that he's done it, he's actually run past the center to get the other guy. So he's not coached to do that. I know what you're saying, though. They're coached to move in.
They're coached to jam in.
Yeah.
They're coached to make a decision.
Yeah.
Yeah. To go or stick. Yeah. And he goes all the time. And it looks pretty bad. And but he's young.
Yeah.
And it's a difficult position to defend in.
He did it less last week. It did cost us a try, the first try, but he did it less. So that's some hope. He did swap with Katoa, which was interesting. Katoa did it less.
Katoa's doesn't come under a lot of scrutiny, but he's not great defensively either.
No, he's not, but he doesn't do those ones as much.
Oh, it's pretty obvious when Ronaldo does it. I mean, yeah.
I think the Cowboys targeted him. They went straight to it. It worked. Dugan said, hey, boss, don't do that again. He didn't do it, and the Cowboys had nothing, so... but yeah, Adam, you're not imagining that. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're playing music somewhere, somehow in these COVID times. What about Geordie?
We got Jordan. Convincing performance despite being down both of their regular halves. Speaking of halves, Trindle was absolutely fantastic. That flick pass he set up, Talakai was what with was a gem. That was just, I got movement when I saw that, Samuel. Mm-hmm. And he says, I like what I see from Braden Kenneth Trindle more and more every time he plays. I hope he's signed for next season and beyond. And he also thought Rudolph had his best game. Thanks for reading my emails. Up, up. And Troy from Maitland's chimed in. Great to hear him back. What's he got to say, Sam?
He says, great win. How good does Trindle look? And Kennedy just gets better every game. Could play a bit of ball, which is a must for fullback these days. Great return by Nakora. Amazing finish by Katoa. One of Woodsy's best games. And Rudolph and Ueli and the forwards were all good. Bring on the Knights. Up, up. Now, where Troy's from?
Maitland.
So that's his territory next week.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if he'll be heading out there.
That's right. He likes to get out to the games with his family.
Friday, 6 o'clock might be doable.
Yeah.
COVID times, maybe there's not many tickets.
Maybe not, you know. Anyway, so that's the letters. Keep them coming in, guys. Fantastic. I like how our podcast letters, you know, that term echo chamber, you know.
Yeah.
I see some of the online shark stuff and I just like, what in the world are these people talking about? Wake up to yourself. We don't get any correspondence like that at all. Everything's measured, well thought out, objective.
Not too much swearing, thankfully.
No. But people know how to spell the names of the players.
Fafita is a lot of trouble for a lot of people.
A lot of trouble, isn't it? Paul Gallon used to be...
O-N?
O-N, yeah, Gallon.
Yeah, I'm someone who takes pride in my spelling, and mm-hmm. I would put myself at probably 99%. Like I'm pretty good. Because I take pride in it. Like I take the time.
Yeah, you never text me, and I judge people on their spelling.
Yeah,
It's not a nice habit, but you know, we've all got faults.
A lot of people don't seem to have that worry, which is a great way to live your life.
Yep. And the should of and would ofs and don't know they're there and theirs and. You know, you're the difference between knowing your shit and knowing your shit.
Oh.
All right, Samuel. So that wraps us up for another session of the letters. And when we come back on the other side, we're going to have a game, a preview. This is Shark Cast Radio. The Royal Motor Yacht Club, Port Hacking, is a hidden gem of the Shire, situated on the banks of the beautiful Port Hacking, and is the best venue around for lunch, dinner, casual catch-up with friends, or function.
They always show NRL games live on the big screens, and Sunday arvos are superb with live acoustic music in the beer garden while the boats frame the backdrop. Newman, I love acoustic music. You know that?
Yachty's Bistro is open 7 days and nights, serving great food. And if you mention Sharkcast Radio, you get a free...
garlic bread, baby.
The RMYC Port Hacking, Woolaware Road, Woolaware. Or check out their Facebook feed to see what's on.
Ettinghausen and Green laying it on. Peachy's into the space. They're not going to get him. The young fullback scores.
Well, I'll tell you, it is one of the best scrum moves you've ever seen.
Welcome back, Sam. I love it when you do the intro of this section.
Hey, welcome back to the show, everybody. Thanks for tuning in, Sharkcast Pod. We got a big game, Newman, and we're here to preview the Newcastle Knights, Cronulla Sharks, Friday night, 6 o'clock. What's their stadium called? McDonald Jones Stadium. What do they do, McDonald Jones? What do they do?
Oh, they're home builders.
Okay.
They make catalogue homes. Just pick a house.
Gotcha.
Build it. It is a big game. We say that every week it's a big game, but this is a big game. A win here basically guarantees us, even though I say that we're safe in the eight, you know, mathematically there's always a chance. But if we win here, I don't see us falling out of the eight. We jump Newcastle and it gives us a shot at finishing fifth or sixth.
Yeah, I think you want to aim for that at this stage.
Yeah. A loss... They're not going real good, Newcastle, and then it puts us in contention to get run down. If we're fair dinkum, when the whips are cracking, the whips are now cracking, Samuel, so to speak, and we get Chad back.
Not long to go. You want to hear the team?
Yeah, go ahead.
Will Kennedy at fullback, Katoa and Mulitalo are on the wings. Dugan and Ramian, your centres. Braden Trindle holds his spot. This week he's wearing number 6. Chad Townsend is back. Starting props are Hamlin Ueli and Aaron Woods. Blake Braley's your hooker. Nakora holds his spot. Wade Graham. Toby Rudolph named at 13, whether he starts there or not, we're not sure. Connor Tracy back to the bench. Scott Sorensen, the GOAT Talakai, and his little friend, the GOAT Hunt, in 17. The extended bench is Jack Williams, Bryson Goodwin, Teague Wilton, and Big Andy Fifita has gone back to the extended bench. So I don't know if that's how they're going to run out, but
I think we might see a bit of that with Fifita now, given his body issues. I think
week on,
might,
week off.
I think we might see him off the bench a lot more.
Well, he's in 21, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if he'll be a late starter or not, but
I think they'd want him in there if he's available.
Sorensen, Talakai, Hunt, who's going to drop out of that? Or do you think they drop Tracy and go with the four forwards? They might do that.
Yeah, that's a big bench, and you could really bullock over the top of the Knights, whose forward pack isn't extraordinarily...
They got Clemmer, but... Clemmer and Saifidi is actually in good form, but aside from those two... But yeah, interesting team. I mean, we've still got the likes of Fifita, Williams, and Teague Wilton who can't make the team. That's pretty good, so to speak.
We like what we saw from Wilton. Now, it's an unknown quantity again with a different halves combination.
Yeah, that's what I was asking about before. Like, are they too similar? But you're saying they're not.
No. You didn't ask the question like that.
Oh, okay.
You asked if he was like that when he was Chad. Sorry, Chad was younger. At the moment, they're both organisers, not running halves.
Okay. Maybe Tracy will stick in the 14 then.
Maybe as a point of difference. We don't know how Braden Kenneth and Chad are going to play together. They certainly don't complement each other probably as well as Tracy and Trindle do, but we gain a ton of experience with Chad coming back into the team.
Yeah. He was fit last week. They held him off.
Yeah, right. So we gain a ton of experience. In a tight game, I'd much rather have Chad there because to get us to the right place on the field and make the right decisions.
Yeah.
In defense, he's a lot more experienced. You know, we gain a lot by having Chad there. But, yeah, maybe if I was coaching, and I'm not, I would have put Tracy in the six to compliment Chad. But... he's in the 14.
It's hard to drop Trindle after that game.
I know.
Right?
It's hard to... it's a dilemma.
Yeah.
There's so many unknowns, but...
Sean Johnson's not that far away. The injury wasn't that bad.
I get the feeling... well, that's good news. I get the feeling that there's going to be a time where all this chopping and changing in the halves... and it's because of injury. It's not because of tactical choices or whatever. Will come and bite us, but hopefully it's not this week.
Right. So... you remember back to round one last year, Newman, Eddie Lee, your friend Eddie Lee, scored the intercept from Chatty and stole the game out of the...
yep.
And that was the first time they had beaten the Sharks in 8 matches or something.
Dugan's on a happy night.
Yeah. But I think Chatty threw the ball.
Yeah, but Dugan bombed about 4 tries by not drawing a passing. Yeah. One time he did pass, he threw it in a row 6. It was awful.
So
we should have won that game 10 times over.
Yeah, so we've got an overall, obviously, a very strong record against them. And even up there, we've won a whole bunch of games. And they're in 7th place. They lost to the Warriors last week. It was their biggest loss of the year, 36-6. They didn't offer a lot in attack, which gives me a lot of hope, even with a guy like Ponga, who's a really strong attacking player. With Mitchell Pearce there, I don't want to, put the curse on us, but he's very unimaginative at the moment.
Yeah, I haven't watched a great deal of them, but you were saying in the break that they're really unimaginative team,
Just the bomb.
Five drives and a bomb, and
that's what they do.
I don't particularly enjoy watching them. And given that they've got that strike power with Ponga, disappointing.
He is the danger guy, and Pearce does do some good things. David Clemmer has the most offloads in the game. He's the most, I think, behind Tamalolo has the most meters, so he'll be strong. It won't be an easy game. They defend fairly well, to their credit, under their new coach.
But they're going to be in the same boat as us. They're going to want to kick on. The whips are cracking.
Yeah.
They're going to think,
They're coming off a bad loss, too.
Yeah. These guys are in the same position we are. We need to kick ahead of them. For the same reason. So I think it'll be a willing contest. Friday 6 o'clock is not my favourite time slot, but it's my birthday on Friday, Samuel. So
it is.
Hopefully I'll get a nice birthday present from the Sharkies.
Now, the Knights have actually scored the most tries from kicks this year, so I wasn't even half fearing about that.
Well, ring Paul McGregor. I mean, do they even count tries from kicks? Or
I'm not ringing Paul McGregor, for starters. So, how are we travelling, Newman? We're still missing the most tackles, conceding the most line breaks, but we saw an improvement last week.
I think we win. I don't think the Knights are that good.
I think we win too.
Yeah, I think they're better than. I think they're better than the Cowboys, which wouldn't be hard.
Much better defensively.
But I think that the Penrith game for us, while it was a wake-up call, the boys now probably know that they can't afford to drop any games against quote-unquote weaker opposition. So I think we'll come out and it'll, but I do think it'll be a willing contest. I definitely think that Newcastle will be up for it, for the same reasons that we will be, and it's going to be a willing game, and we certainly can't rest on our laurels.
The Penrith game, which will haunt us for a while, the Penrith games, out enthused, aside from, more strike packs, etc., like, they're out enthused.
I know. And I saw a lot of gnashing of teeth about the Penrith game online. And I'm like, mate, Penrith are having a year. They've got great individual players and they're a great team, but they're a powerful unit. And we've got a lot of kids.
Now, hang on. No. You're misinterpreting what I'm saying. You're 100% correct, and they are the 2016 Sharks.
If you let me get to my long-winded point,
please.
I was going to say that even though they can run over the top of you and you can struggle to contain them, you can be enthusiastic, and they won't.
Yeah, and I think that to get into a contest with a team like that, you need to be enthusiastic, and for some reason, in both games, they were super chilled, and the game was over after 20 minutes. So in any game they play from here on in, whether it's against the Panthers, Knights, or whoever, I want to see him, like, even against the Cowboys, they conceded the first try, but they look like they're up for it.
I think that the inclusion of Chad, the much maligned Chad, you know, he's such a leader on and off the field.
Mm.
He's not going to cop the being unenthusiastic.
Maybe the youth there are helping bring it along. I'm not sure, but I just don't want to see them like that ever again in my lifetime, because it was just, I can't cop losing by 50, but if there's a reason, like Penrith are having a phenomenal season, absolutely. But I just don't like being out enthused in games. They got a lot to play for, and I want to see it this week.
Well, I don't think they'll be out enthused this week.
Hope not.
And if they are out enthused this week, give it away.
Because we've got Warriors next week who are up for any game.
Well, the Warriors are going to be circling our game, going, the Warriors have to beat teams coming in front of them.
Yeah.
So they would have circled that game and gone, this is absolute must win.
And then after that,
who knows what's going to happen with the Warriors, because it's such a weird season for them, you know? Are they going to just come out?
Well, yeah, I think they're a very beatable team.
Of course they are.
But we've seen them just lift.
Exactly.
So we have them, then we have the Roosters and the Raiders, and you have to believe, come 3 weeks' time and 4 weeks' time, those teams are going to be just in their prime.
Yeah.
So
they are two early semifinals. Challenging games.
Yeah, so we need to keep lifting, keep going up the old escalator, and by the time we get to the second last and last game, I want to be just ready to go. And
think that the coaching staff, they're not looking at the ladder looking at the draw going, well, you know, we want to beat, they're beatable. But they're looking at that going, okay, we've got different levels of team coming up.
Yeah.
We need to continue improving so that when we hit the Roosters and the Raiders, we are fully competitive with them.
Yeah, and it's what should have happened in the Penrith situation is Dan Nowak won a whole bunch of games, play Penrith, match of the round, boom, it's over. We're getting back to that spot. So we're beating everyone we should. I'm hoping we beat Newcastle and the Warriors. Roosters, everyone's talking about it. Game of the week, Sonny Bill, it's all happening. We need to be in that mood. And I'm sure the coaching staff are kind of aiming for that as well.
So what are you predicting? A win by?
I am predicting a win, I think, by 10. Yeah.
I think it's going to be close. I think we're going to get them by one.
Ooh. Jeff Robson field goal.
Get the defibrillators ready.
2013, the field goal? Yeah. Jeff Robson winning field goal?
Okay.
Was it Robson or Luke Lewis?
Luke Lewis never kicked a field goal for us.
Oh! It was Robson.
Robson would have been 2013.
You were telling me he's on the staff somewhere?
Yeah,
at the Sharks?
He's a welfare officer. One of the great guys, Jeff Robson.
Of course he is.
I want to get him on and talk to him about 2014. 2014. I want to do, you know, we talked about Doco with 88.
It's going to require a case of booze.
Yeah, and we talked about, who are we talking about with Cavell? 2005?
Eight.
2008?
Yeah.
I want to talk about 2014 with Jeff Robson. One of the horror years.
He held his head up high and he still can. I love those guys.
Man. I love you. All right. Well, that wraps us up for another episode of Sharkcast Radio. Just an update for anyone who listens right to the end. I invited Sam to my 40th birthday on the episode last week. He's not coming, just for everyone's records. And no comment, no pointing, no Trump fingers. He's not going to be baited into an online debate.
No, I'm not. I rarely am. You know that. Mm-hmm. Rarely am. Good luck trying. Plenty have tried.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty are still trying.
Anyway, Mark Horn's going to be there, so we'll have a drink in your absence.
The Horn Dog.
Yeah.
Great man.
Liam from the Yacht Club, he'll be there. Doco's going to be there. Mate, just not you. All these other friends of the podcast.
I might be there late.
We'll be going late. If you come late, if you turn up, I will rescind everything. And stand ultimately corrected.
Craig and Tom last week.
How were they?
They were looking fabulous.
Yeah.
I was the guy that you don't want to be near for some reason. And you know me, I'm very health conscious in the sense of what's going on around the world right now. I'm living as healthy a life as I can. Not talking about like diet or anything, but like cleanliness. For some reason, I was the guy shaking everyone's hand at the footy.
All right.
Gave me a shake my head.
Just went a bit mad, did you?
I did. I could feel it and I couldn't stop it. I was just shaking everyone's hand. I felt so embarrassed.
COVID.
Then I went and washed my hands, but I don't know what everyone else did. I hope they did.
Oh, dear.
They're probably listening. Yeah, that guy shook my hand.
What do you do, eh?
Yeah.
All right, well, that wraps us up for another episode and looking forward to seeing everyone next week.
As yes.
We say every week.
Up the Sharks.
Up the Sharks.
Play the song, Neiman. Do, 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 do.
Up, up, Cronulla. The boys in the black, white, and blue. Up, up, Cronulla. Name of the Sharks, bit you. Sharks, Sharks.
Shots!